This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com. 'Cause you had a bad day, you take one
down, you sing a sad song just to turn it around. BT, it's Al back on the fans. You just heard Manny mention it right there, BT, that Frankie Montas is going to be shut down from throwing for a while. Huff, do you have more specifics on that? Before I go nuts here in about 30 seconds, I want all the details possible on what we have here. Puma reported what exactly? When they say significant period, what does that mean? Out for the season, out for a few months, missing opening day? What does that mean, significant?
I mean, the report that he put out was just he hasn't been throwing at all and will apparently remain shut down for a significant stretch. So you put two and two together.
Here's what I put together. And remember, BT, I said you can't get on Stearns, but I was talking about for the way that they were operating as opposed to some of the moves. In real time, when the Mets signed Frankie Montas, you and I both, I think, said that...
Didn't like it.
And there's a reason for that. We saw Montas here. He was horrible with the Yankees. He wasn't healthy. And David Stearns thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And they took a chance on Montas. And you know what I had to say? You know what? Maybe you're right. Because I doubted their staff last year. Doubted the staff last year. Didn't love it. I liked Manaea. Didn't love Severino signing. Didn't like the way the whole thing was built, especially with Senga out. I wanted more. This year, it's like, hey, you know what? You shut me up once. I'm going to sit back and watch you go to work. Do your thing. And they choose Montas. And that was the one I said, man, even with trusting David Stearns, Montas? Like, this is the guy you're going to go in on? To a point where I started thinking, hey, maybe Montas could be pretty good. Well, I should have trusted my initial instinct. I was right. Stearns was wrong. Frankie Montas is useless. You could have spent that money elsewhere, like Walker Buehler. Already, before you get started, you're losing one of your prized possessions in the offseason as far as that rotation goes. Now, they'll be fine. You know, Tyler McGill will take his spot. They have depth in the rotation, which is okay. Not the end of the world. But boy genius, who had a great first year, year two all of a sudden... Already with the Frankie Montas, that one he was begging. Stearns was begging. You were begging to get ripped with that, Frankie Montas. And here we are.
What the hell's wrong with him? It's just, it's so unclear. It's like, wow.
Yeah, that's okay. A weird one, isn't it?
Strange.
Shut down from throwing for...
No, but he hasn't even been throwing, right? He has been throwing prior to this. So he shows up in camp after not throwing at all. Then the moment he shows up in camp, they're already telling us now, February, what, 17th, whatever it is. He ain't pitching for a while. All right, so now what's the pivot here? I think, and I know that you just laid out some of the younger names, whether it's McGill, Peterson, who I do like. Obviously, Senga's coming back here. You got to go get Dylan Cease. You got to reengage the Padres for Dylan Cease.
I don't know if I would go nuts with that. Maybe they are a little more. I think, again, remember, to your point, same thing as we discussed with other teams or the Yankees, whatever. Like, they don't need to go make a move right now on February 18th, whatever the day is, 17th, and go get a pitcher to replace Frankie Montas in the rotation. However, if they know he's going to be out a significant amount of time, I do think that changes a little bit. All right, well, we thought we were going to have this guy, and our depth has already taken a hit before we even get started,
yeah.
maybe we have to recalibrate slightly. I don't know if I would go overly aggressive for one of those guys. Maybe they do pivot that soon. Maybe you see what shakes out in season after you try to survive for the first month or so. But, I mean, it's a problem because Montas was supposed to be what? They're number four this year? Number three, maybe?
No, I mean, so let's see. Manaea.
Senga. Peterson.
One and two. Yeah, was Frankie going to really be three?
Gonna, yeah. Holmes would have been behind him.
Holmes probably four or five. Yeah, I guess Frankie may have been three or four.
It's either where you put Peterson. You want to put Peterson three and Montas four or Montas three?
I would,
three?
Of course. I okay. think Peterson's so Peterson better
three,
at this point.
Peterson three and Montas four. I mean, but they didn't, I mean, you know, they paid Montas a pretty good.
And they gave him a player option, too. Player
right, for
option.
Next year. Yeah, I mean, look, I hated it at the time.
Yeah.
I had no choice but to trust Stearns. But you knew the second that there was going to be an issue with Montas, and I didn't think he was going to get injured before the season started. I just thought he wasn't going to be very good.
Yeah.
But this is like this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. This is what Montas does.
No, but I'm still surprised just given the nature of where we are, and he's so far away from even doing anything remotely connected to throwing a baseball. What happened to him?
Yeah.
I mean, did they sign him? Was he damaged goods?
Yeah, that is a good point. Was there any detail on, like, was he throwing? He must have been already throwing, no?
I thought Hoff said that he wasn't throwing for a couple weeks.
They said that he hasn't thrown.
Yeah.
He has not been throwing.
That's what I
period.
Thought he said.
And will apparently remain shut down. So
now, to be fair, go ahead, Hoff.
Is it throwing since he's arrived at camp? I don't know.
That's what I was going to say. Now, yeah, he showed up at Port St. Lucie a couple days ago. Okay, he hasn't thrown at Port St. Lucie, or he wasn't throwing, working
yeah,
his way up on his own in January. I don't know.
Because, hold on, let me just rewind a little bit, because New York Mets on February 12th, here's a lie right here. Frankie Montas drawing a crowd and him throwing a baseball. So
when was that, February 12th,
really?
Five days ago?
Yeah.
Well, maybe just a long toss, not a bullpen session.
Right, so he's on the mound with a bunch of guys.
Yeah, the exact tweet from Puma, Frankie Montas has not been throwing and will apparently remain shut down for a significant stretch. Means, okay, well, maybe he hasn't been throwing for, it could be 3 days,
that's
2 days.
That's why I ask, yeah.
Yeah
2 hours.
Yeah, right. Wow. Yeah, he hasn't been throwing today.
Or, has he been inactive all winter is what I'm looking for. Because if that's the case, then you sign somebody who was hurt.
He said more info coming soon. Well, remember, Cashman traded for a guy in Montas who was hurt.
I know.
That's what I'm saying about this
Pitched
guy.
Pitched one game for the Yankees a couple years ago. One.
It
one
wasn't even about
game.
Performance. It was, and now he gets a contract, and who knows? Oh, God, I hate it. He would have been the one name that Stearns could have brought in that would have made me irate or at least question him at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go nuts. And then I was like, hey, you know what? You have to trust him. Maybe, you know what? Maybe the numbers show this or the Mets think they could do that with him.
Yeah.
But I just didn't like the competitor that Montas was.
Me neither.
Forget about the stuff. I didn't like the competitor that he was.
You want Strobeck? Take him off our hands?
In theory, yes. If not for his clubhouse present.
I think his clubhouse likes him.
Yeah.
I know it was different with the Mets. I get it. I get that.
I would not bring Marcus Stroman in, but I wish that there was a different energy around Stroman and the Mets because I love the pitcher. I still do.
He's got stones. He gets after it.
He goes out there every fifth day. He's competitive. He's not great, but he's going to give you know what you're getting. You're getting 5-6 competitive innings from him.
He'll give you a chance to win.
Put the ball in play. You get a good defense behind you. Yeah. So I like Stroman, the competitor.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't, I don't, based on stuff that I've heard and that has been out there for a while. I mean, remember, I was a big fan of Marcus Stroman. I had a little rapport with him on social media, and then he blocked me for some unknown reason. Like, he went nuts with me. Why? Well, because it criticized the Mets? I mean, good God. You're going to be that sensitive? Like, relax. But I think there were other issues that were going on there that I heard about. There's some stuff behind the scenes that were...
Yeah, a little messy.
By the way, multiple areas. Which is why I was shocked that the Yankees signed him. Because if I knew about that, they had to know about it. But to Stroman's credit, he was terrific with the Yankees as far as that goes last year.
Well, and you know, it's funny because over the weekend, you know, there's a lot of stuff about Stroman. And after we finished up our show on Friday, and I know that this is more about Montas, but it's just another point on Stroman that I didn't make because I didn't really know this, or I just didn't think that I needed to make this. But just to clarify, so my only issue, and I thought you and I had a really, really good start to the show. It was great. So if you guys want to check it out, free Odyssey app, WFAN YouTube from Friday's show. My only pushback with Montas, not that he said repeatedly, I'm a starter. I respect
Stroman,
that.
Pardon
me. Thank you, Stroman. That I'm a starter. Not that he was a little belligerent in that, but that he did flat out say, I'm not going to pitch out of the bullpen. If he would have not said that, then everything would have been perfect because it speaks to his competitive nature. It speaks to his, like, that edge that helped him become a major leaguer despite being diminutive in size based on his peers. Like, that's why he's a dog. My only point of contention was All right, that's where you cross the line by saying you're not going to do something that they might tell you to do. Not the fact that he kept saying I'm a starter. I had no problem with that.
Right. But more that if they did ask, that
he said, I'm not going to the bullpen.
Yeah, and look, now either way, the Mets have an issue here. And I mean,
so do the Yankees with Stanton. Not a good start here.
If it weren't for the Mets knowing Stroman or us knowing what went on there, then I think that, it'd be a good fit. Or maybe not the Met-Yankee thing, but Stroman's the exact type of pitcher who you would want to give you some depth and lengthen out that rotation. Now, we need to see what's going to happen here. We kind of know where we're at with Stanton, right, where it says he's going to be shut down for
a while. He's out. He's not even playing opening day. He's out months.
So the Yankees need to figure that out. With Montas, Puma said there'll be more to come shortly, so I'm sure we'll find out more details on this.
Yep.
But it's never good before the season gets started, before really spring training gets underway, where you're losing one of your top five starters.
No, it's not.
And you were thin to begin with. Now, this is going to be on the Mets to go figure out how to replace him, whether it's just Tyler McGill. I almost called him Mike Pelfrey because he's similar to me. Tyler McGill, you bring him in, sure, but now you're still, either way, you're already going to that depth in that rotation. Remember, the Mets are going to be using a six-man rotation here.
Mm-hmm. To protect Senga. So you have to have somebody who's viable. We didn't like the signing, but at least Montas, he had some strikeouts last year. When he's healthy, he is viable. Let me just kick the tires again on Stroman back to the Mets here.
Yeah.
Why don't you, number one, it's a different manager. It's a different energy, and it's a different culture. So why wouldn't you, at the very least, call up Juan or talk to Juan, in the manager's office? Hey, what was he like with the Yankees? What was he like there?
How much money would you be given to send him?
I don't know what they were willing to do with the others. I mean, from a Yankee, but you got to give him at least half. You got to bite the bullet on half.
Yeah, probably more than that. Well, my point was going to be, I could just go spend that $8 million on somebody else. Like, there's actually a lot of good arms out there. Hoff, can you get a list of us for the current free agent pitchers? If not, I could bring it up here in a second, but I'm trying to go through the rotation. Let's just go over the rotation real quick, too. Am I missing somebody? Manaea 1, Senga 2, Peterson, Holmes, McGill, and Montas were supposed to be the six, or was...
There was always a thought maybe that either Griffin Canning or McGill would
fire or Blackburn, right, okay. Yeah. So take McGill. So McGill's going to be the guy, right? Blackburn or Griffin Canning. So the Mets had like eight deep, I guess, right? If you go Canning, Jesus. I mean, they're eight deep, but Senga, Manaea, no particular order. Senga, Manaea, Peterson, Holmes, McGill, Blackburn, Canning, and then supposed to be Montas. So that's eight right there.
Yeah, that's eight.
It's a good lineup.
Yeah, it's eight, but now you take out Montas, who was one of the better ones.
Mm-hmm.
Take him out. That's down to seven. And of those seven, you have a guy who's converting from a bullpen to be a starter. You have Tyler McGill, who's not any good. Blackburn's like a serviceable. Yeah, basically, of those seven, you have three fives or four fives.
That's where I was going. I mean, the fragility of Senga, you hope that resolves itself, but you still got to be prepared to navigate it if it doesn't. And then... Now, I like the Clay Holmes signing. I thought that was out of the box. I remember that when I'm like, I think, and he had some starts with the Pirates back in the day, so he's going to have to build up his strength. I think he'll be good with a pretty good defensive infield as well. We talked about that with Torres and third base for the Yankees a year ago, a little messy. So his numbers should be better. But I said before this that I thought the Mets needed another arm.
Right.
I really did. Now, what, Evan Dove just said Quintana? You want Quintana back?
I thought he signed somewhere, didn't he?
I don't know if he signed. I guess Evan just tweeted that.
Did I make that up?
Oh, bring him back.
You know, I like Quintana.
He's a culture guy. He's going to get a chance to win if he's your fifth or sixth guy. Get him back in camp.
What was that, a dream that I had or something? I'm trying to look up. Hoff, let me know when you get a list. But, I would take Quintana back. I mean, but again, it's going to be somebody like that. I would have loved Walker Buehler. It's not going to happen. Yeah, you have
a list?
You're ready. All right. The top names, Patrick Corbin.
Oh, no. God, he was awful.
No, next.
Jose Quintana.
Yes, like him.
Yeah, I take him.
Kyle Gibson.
No.
Andrew Heaney.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't love him, but I'd take a flyer on him. These are similar guys.
Anthony DeSclafani. Lance Lynn.
Lance Lynn's a guy that...
What did he do last year? You don't have that up right now. I'm
Lance
too much.
Lynn...
He didn't have a good season, I don't think.
Yeah, but...
I think it's over for Lance
Lynn. Yeah, I mean, it could be.
Let's see, who else we got? James Paxton.
No.
Alex Wood, Jose Urquidy, but I believe he has Tommy John.
Yeah, right.
So he's basically done. Pitch. John Means is, I believe, getting picked up right now by...
Was it Texas? Who was it?
Somebody from the Central, I believe. No, maybe not Central. But somebody on the American League team is picking up John Means. Mike Clevenger, Spencer Turnbull, is he available?
I feel like there were better options. Maybe Pivetta because he came off the board.
Yeah, four-year deal.
Here we go. Rich Hill.
No, come on, Rich Hill.
he's almost 45. Let's go.
Quintana, it's a layup.
What's Jamie Moyer doing?
Yeah.
Quintana, 48. Quintana, out of all those guys, I like Quintana anyway. I would have wanted the Mets to bring him back.
Yeah.
Now, again, either way, it's a little bit of a drop-off from what they expected Montas to be. Or, to your point, BT, go trade for somebody. Could be Stroman.
Did King sign in the last couple? He didn't sign, right? King with the Padres. I know that Dylan Cease is still available. King didn't sign anything.
I don't think so. No one expected.
What he did is he signed a 2-year deal. So he had like the option for next year. The way that the structure is it doesn't count this year as much.
Okay.
So they kind of gave a weird type of contract. It's like $4 million for this year.
Could they still trade him if they want it, or are they not allowed to based on the CBA?
I think they could trade him, but I think he'd cost too much because of how much he's going to get next year.
Gotcha. So listen, Cease, but here's the thing. Though too, like neither one of us liked when the Mets signed Montas. So I guess the way I look at it now is like, all right, we didn't like it when they got him because we didn't think he was very good. So why are we going to go nuts that he got hurt?
Well, because
I know the strength of numbers. Yeah. I get that the depth for sure
because they needed that anyway.
Yeah.
Now maybe they're saying, well, and it depends on the severity of it. They're making it sound like, or at least it seems like, it's significant. Now for a significant amount of time with more to come.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. You know, maybe not worst case scenario, but it doesn't seem like
it doesn't sound good.
Okay, so then my question is, are you saying, well, why do you need to go nuts right now? Because they just mentioned the other seven names.
Yeah, but two of those guys could be better than Montas.
Yeah, no, I get that. But now what if something goes wrong? And you're talking about a 6-man rotation to begin with. My God.
Are they married to that 6-man no matter what? Just because of Senga, 100%? I think they talked about it.
I think because of Senga, yeah.
All right. I still don't think that's the worst thing in the world. The 6-man rotation is, I don't love it, but I get it. And I think it's okay maybe for them. But
yeah, but when
you got to hope Holmes.
Holmes I trust.
Transitions.
In level of trust, Manaea, Senga, Peterson, Holmes.
Yep. I agree with that.
I go even Blackburn. I don't trust Tyler McGill. He stinks. He's too up and down.
Not a McGill.
Tyler McGill. I mean, at some point, you'd think the guy would figure it out.
I always lumped Peterson and McGill together, and now, like the last year, I'm like, nah, Peterson's just better than McGill.
He separated himself, no question about it. But it's still fragile to be, even if you're saying, well, yeah, I trust these guys. I mean, if you get the best of Manaea, the best of Senga, the best of Peterson, all right, that's nice. And even the best of Holmes, you'd be okay. I could deal with Blackburn, McGill, and Canning as a fifth starter. But two of those guys, you're going 5-6.
Do you try to add another stick and just try to bludgeon people to death? I mean, do you change philosophy here? I'm not saying like a big dog stick, but
Think about it, BT. To your point, they needed an arm anyway.
Yep.
It was going to be fine going in, but they needed an arm anyway. Now they really need an arm. So it's just a matter of how aggressive they want to be and when they want to, make that. But I mean, you see this rotation holding up. You don't win a division with this rotation.
I don't. But I also said before Frankie went down, I thought they needed the other arm.
Yeah, I know. At least he had the potential. Like, Montas wasn't bad a year ago. And you're factoring in the Mets effect, right? Like they make the most. Like Severino was awful when he was with the Yankees before the Mets last year.
Yep.
They made the most of him. Not saying that would have happened again, but that was the formula have some success, and obviously it didn't work out that way. Already off to a great start. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Although, I guess of all the names you could have lost,
that's the one you don't mind.
Well, I mean, he'd probably be, how would you rank the level of trust if you had Montas in there? You still go, I'd go Manaea, Senga, Peterson. We agree with those three?
Manaea, Senga, Peterson. I would go Holmes in front of him. I would have him fifth.
Okay.
I really would.
Yeah.
I might even have him sixth.
I'd probably have him,
if you do it a 6-man over who's
Blackburn, Canning, McGill.
Probably, I'd have him fifth.
Yeah, have him fourth over Holmes just because he's done it before.
Oh, my God. Todo lo malo echado
para allá. BT and Sal back on the Fan. What are your thoughts, BT, on probably the end of OMG with Iglesias? You know, he had that sit-down. Did you see this? The sit-down with John Heyman?
I read some of the stuff. Yeah. I didn't actually see it.
I don't know if I saw a picture or a little bit of a video of it with Heyman's article being promoted there by the Post. So he had a one-on-one with Iglesias, who was almost begging to come back.
Kind of like Rogers begging to come back.
Well, I think the Mets would have, and we get into that before we say goodbye as well, and I think Alonso's going to speak around 2:30. We'll keep you posted if we hear any news before we get off the air as far as the Montas stuff goes and how significant the issue is. But with Heyman, he had that one-on-one sit-down with Iglesias. I don't know all the facts, But I'm pretty sure that if Iglesias' offer was in the ballpark, the Mets would have been in play to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he wants a lot more than what the Mets are willing to offer, so they apparently have moved on.
I love him. I tell you, his journey was really, really interesting last year. Starts in the minors. I mean, the Mets say no promises. I guess the only promise the Mets did make to him was, if we dip into the minors to replace somebody, you're our first call. They did tell him that. And, you know, he was basically going to quit. And I don't know how you don't respect the journey, don't respect the story. 400 at home. He was a real great teammate, just a slick glove, played the game hard, ran hard. I mean, I think you guys are going to miss him.
Right, but you're paying for what you project he's going to do. Like, remember, in the postseason last year, I didn't even want Iglesias in the lineup.
It didn't look good in
okay,
the postseason.
So I don't care about the average and the hustle. All that's there, and I do want him back on the bench. I love that idea. Remember, he plays the one position that the Mets are, I want McNeil out. McNeil, I think, is clogging it up a little bit with all the guys that they have there, the potential, whether it's Jet Williams eventually, Acuna, Mauricio.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of need to Beatty if you want to get him some at-bats. He's working at second base a little bit. If you want to see what one of those guys can be, you can't be locking it up, and you already have it with McNeil there until you move on from him, and maybe they don't move on with McNeil. Maybe they keep him as the veteran and figure out a way to get the other guys worked in there throughout the course of the year, DH or whatever, giving some guys day off or play McNeil in the outfield. I just don't know, do they actually have a spot for Iglesias? I don't think that they do.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not saying that you just create one because he's going to do what he did last season. You can sign him and he can hit, 231, a soft 231. And, the postseason was really just a foreshadow of what he's going to do this year. He was just, I just respect him and I like him.
Yep.
And it seemed like he loved being a Met, which you also have to appreciate more. But, the thing, and listen, and it kind of sounds contrived, but coaches say it and executives say it. Cashman said it over the years. Boone said it as well. Next year's team, when a season ends, it's always different. It's never, even if you have almost all the same players coming back, the energy, the circumstances, just the way things align. So to think that he was going to do that again is probably, not accurate, but it was good Met. And I know the fans loved him, so it doesn't look like it's going to get resolved. And I always end it this way. Hey, yeah, I'll take him on the Yankees. Well, that's how much I like him.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you. Yankees need depth. They have no depth. So why not? This is even before the Stan injury. And obviously they need, power bats in the middle of the order, whatever. But they need depth. I mean, it's one thing that is clearly missing, and he's a great depth piece, proven in New York. Is it too much of the OMG thing, the blue and orange?
I don't care about that.
Okay, Chief.
I don't care about that at all. No, I think that, let's push this forward from a Yankee perspective for a second. Let's say they don't make a trade for Arenado.
Could play third instead of LeMahieu.
That's where I was going. I know they don't want to do this, but let's just say they don't resolve third base. Third base is a mess and very much the eyesore, at least many of us think it is right now and probably will be this way unless they bring in Arenado or something else, which I still think that they're going to try to do. But they could always say, all right, you know what? We don't want to do this to you again, Jazz, but the way third base is looking, Jazz, you go back to third, Iglesias, you're playing some second. And you're right. You could also have Iglesias play some third if you don't want to disrupt Jazz at second. But they don't have a lot of depth. I mean, is Peraza ever going to hit? Is Cabrera more than a two game a week guy? Probably not. I would kick the tires. I don't know what he's asking for monetarily, but I would see what he's thinking.
Yeah, it'd be worth the flyer. I forget where I was checking. $5 million or something like that a year, I think. I think it would be worth the flyer for the Yanks. Although, I just don't think that he's going to be as productive this year. Like, last year, I don't want to say it was fluky, but putting the bat on the ball the way that he did, that led to the higher average. There are elements of Iglesias' game as much as I love. Like, I wish he could come back as a coach. Can you pay him $5 million to be a coach? Not going to play, but have that energy in the clubhouse. But either way, to your point, it's not going to be the same. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the main topic of the day, the lack of competition in sports, although the four nations...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Tournament seems to have that. Tim is in Indian Hills. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Great show. Love the Four Nations talk. And I agree. I think that the NFL, the NHL, both in the regular season, are probably the most competitive leagues as far as competition goes. But what I think you're missing on the Four Nations is you've got the 20 best Americans, you've got the 20 best Canadians. So that's why you're seeing such an elevated level of play in the tournament. It's not a regular team. These are the best guys. You know, you've got a three-on-three. You've got Makar, MacKinnon, and McDavid out there for Team Canada. I don't think you put three better guys on the ice.
That's special. One of the things. Thanks for the call. That's one of the things that I was throwing out there, you know, earlier in the show. Like, all right, if you did the same thing with the NBA or you did the same thing with baseball and you had the best from whether it's two countries playing each other, whatever it might be, you know, you're going to have an uptick in play. And I don't know, like when you bounce around the NHL, when you bounce around all the other leagues there's teams that are 15, 20 games below 500, like the White Sox. I mean, were the White Sox not playing hard last year, or were they just atrocious? I don't know. Probably at the end they weren't as committed as they were on opening day. I'm sure natural instincts take over when your season's been over since the first month of the season. But when you just get deeper into the talent pool, there's going to be diminished performances.
Yeah, but I'm not questioning the diminished performance. I'm talking about the energy and effort level. Like, just because Keandre Miller or whatever, or pick a Ranger, just Adam Fox, just because he's on the ice and maybe not as skilled. Fox is a bad example because he's as skilled as anybody else. But, you know, it doesn't matter. The talent level is the point. It matters the effort level. So you could say that, well, you wouldn't be able to put, three better guys on the ice. But that's not the reason for me, for the energy and passion that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
That's the difference in regular season versus postseason, or regular season versus this four-nation tournament.
Okay, I understand that. But let me go back to the White Sox here. So let's take, you know, still early, even though they got off to an awful start. Let's go May 10th. Let's say they're playing the Yankees or even the Mets in early, whatever. But we're just playing the Yankees here, right? And the White Sox are 8-23, just throwing out numbers. Yankees are whatever they were at that point, right? And you watch the Yankees and the White Sox play. What I'm saying is it's hard to identify effort because the White Sox talent base is so low.
Right.
I mean, they might be trying their best and truly maxing out, whether it's sprint speed, whether it's velo from the mound, whether it's, you know, backing up and hitting the cutoff man, but they lose 9-2 because they stink. They're a Triple A team. So that's why I'm saying it's a little hard to assign levels of true effort. Now, when it's there, guys are dropping mitts 9 seconds in. You know the passion's there. I'd say the other stuff is a little misleading just because there's some bad teams.
Barry is in Edgewater, New Jersey. What's up, Barry?
Hey, Bear.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. So I want to make a comment about your main topic about competing and what have you. But I want to give you first, two little perspectives. I'm a lot older than you guys, so I grew up in Brooklyn, and in the 50s and the 60s, there were two incidents I want to tell you about. One was that Gil Hodges, who lived in Brooklyn, and Duke Snyder and Carl Erskine used to rent a room next to the church, okay? That's where these guys stayed in the 50s and the 60s. They didn't live in New York, except for, Gil. That's number one. And we could see them walking around the streets, when we were kids.
Yeah.
They went to the store and what have you. Now, going a little forward from that, my dad worked as a general manager for a clothing chain in New York called American Shops. And Yogi Berra and Jerry Coleman and Phil Rizzuto all worked there in the off season because they needed jobs. They worked on the floor. They were, hello, how are you guys? And,
that's
that
amazing.
Type of thing.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
As we deal with what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
And that's over Jerry Coleman and Yogi. All right.
Yeah.
Now, when I was an executive in corporate America back in the 70s and the 80s, you were right about that. Whoever said the $100,000. Or 200,000 equivocated to 650 or 700.
I said that. That's about, just a guess.
But I remember being promoted and getting that salary and saying,
"Hey, I'm sorry. I think we had. I don't know if you guys are hearing that. I think we had a problem with the line there, Dove. Sorry about that, Barry. You get back to us. We do appreciate the time and the stories right there of going back, of course. But it seemed to be a little technical difficulty there, BT. I'm not sure what was going on there, but we do get the point that going back in the day, players were more accessible, players were friendly, they were more neighborhood guys. I'm not sure if that was going to lead to eventually getting to the point of the day, which is the lack of competition, or the fact that you brought up before, guys had to play harder because they were not, they're working in the offseason to the caller's point right there.
Yeah, and by the way, I just looked it up. So $200,000 in 85, that's close, man. $586,000 today. Yeah, there was a closeness, there was a relatability, and, you're never going to recreate the past, and nobody's trying to do that because the past wasn't nearly as perfect as sometimes we present it to be. But when the essence of competition is compromised, that is,
right.
And I know that's your main point, and I don't disagree. Like, you do that, and because the competition's fierce, it leads to rivalries, and the passion's unmatched, and it just seems like it's almost optional, and it's sad.
Right, so the care factor is elevated when you are representing your country. That's been proven. Like, this is not my opinion. That's been proven, right?
Yeah.
Is it fair to say that? Whether it's the WBC?
Even Ryder Cup for golf.
Okay.
I think there's enough evidence
to support
that. I don't
get into that myself,
Europeans
but fair enough.
Europeans go nuts for it. Yeah, no doubt.
And the care factor for the teams in the postseason is elevated.
Yeah.
Compared to what it is in the regular season.
No question.
So then why, and this is where my issue comes from, why should we care as much? Now, I want to because I love sports, but why should we care as much for the regular season of these sports
mm-hmm.
when they are telling you that they don't? I have a hard time then saying, okay, well, I'm going to care about all 162, or I'm going to care about every regular season NBA or NHL game
yeah.
when they clearly don't. I think the NFL is different only because it's a shorter regular season. It's once a week. It's a little bit different. And the violent nature of the sport, like if you're not going out there playing all out, you're going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
So that's kind of separate from the other sports that have a longer regular season. But it's almost like, it's not even my opinion, it's kind of been proven to be fact that the regular season effort and energy and care level is just not where it is in the other aspects of the game, whether it be representing your country in whatever tournament or the postseason.
Well, I'm going to try to answer the question you just laid out there. Why should we care if they're telling us that
right.
they don't care as much? I think what is... maybe in our own ways, our twisted ways, like we kind of resort to rationalizing, our guys are different. Our team's a little different.
Yeah.
We know there's getting a little lax out there, but our guys play hard.
Some are. Tibbs Knicks are.
Yep. So I think it's applicable in some spots, number one. Number two, I think that we're all very inherently aware of it, but I think that you probably suppress the knowledge of how much it's changed because you want to enjoy it. And it's supposed to be an escape. Like, think about the things that are not fun in life.
Yeah, reality,
the commutes,
right.
The illnesses, yeah. paying, you know, all this, or everything. Almost everything. A lot of stuff, right? So if we can't even extract enjoyment from one of the things that was always pure and enjoyable, that's going to be a pretty miserable existence.
Correct. I think we do extract enjoyment from it, although we love complaining and picking out certain things. But when you get into a game... and you're watching one of the great competitors of all time go out there and throw a no-hitter, let's say.
Yeah.
And because of the way the game is right now, and they're more worried about preventing arm injuries than they are about the competition of the sport, like, there are frustrating elements to, even though you want to extract every bit of enjoyment that you can out of these, I just don't think that there's competition at the highest level. Same way you could sit back and enjoy the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul thing. I had a fun time watching that night. It obviously wasn't highly competitive, but like the build up to it was funny, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you want competition. As sports fans, we want competition. And I don't think we're getting it at the highest of levels from the professional sports.
It's definitely fallen flat. There's no question about that.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. I think C-Mac loves Aaron Boone more than anybody else, and not just because he's being a homer, because he really believes Boone has done a good job. And when Boone was in here with us, BT,
mm-hmm.
he recorded some liners, so apparently... you know, Boone also, you know, knows the station as well, and he was recording some liners that we have that were for C-Mac show at some point that we're going to use. Go ahead, Hoff.
This is Aaron Boone, and you're listening to Chris McGonigal. What'd I say? Chris McMonigal. I would do that again. Chris McMonigal.
Very familiar with this work. I'll skip.
This is going to be... we're going to use this, by the way.
Sorry, Chris.
Right.
Chris McMonigal.
Hey! How about C-Mac there, Booney? How about that, buddy? Let's truncate it for you.
I love Booney. I never heard that before.
Me neither.
Hoff was telling me it was funny, but how about he goes, sorry, Chris?
I mean, he got three redos. Can we get a redo with Cortez, Freddie Freeman in the World Series, Booney?
By the way, we're watching. That game is on right now on MLB Network. We have it on in
it.
Studios.
You're watching. I'm not
Stanton
watching
just hit the two-run bomb. I'm waiting for the decision. I want to see you nasty Nestor as he takes out Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
God, I miss baseball. I can't wait for it. We'll do more Rodgers tomorrow. tomorrow, BT. We were saying we were going to get to it. We're out of time here. We got 15 minutes, so we'll finish up on the phone. So we'll do more Rodgers tomorrow. Also, we'll react to Alonso's comments. I cannot wait to hear what Pete has to say.
Yeah.
He should be speaking, I think, within the next hour or so.
What is your guess? And I agree. I think those are two really good topics tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Pete says. What is your guess? Is he overly enthusiastic? Is he kind of short with it?
Like, my main thing is going to be, I want to see authenticity. Remember, Cohen said that he wanted to go down there and he felt he needed to take matters into his own hands and go see Alonso face to face and let him know they wanted him and, you know, find out from the human element. I don't want to hear robotic Pete. I don't want to hear, oh, happy to be here. Like, I don't want to hear the normal, you know, player speak. I don't want to hear that nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear the canned contrivances. I want to hear honesty. Hey, this is a rough off season. I think I'm worth a lot more. I'm happy to be where I wanted to be with the Mets. This is where I want to be the whole time, so I'm happy to be back. But I want to go out there and prove that I'm worth a bigger contract so I could be a lifelong Met. Like, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If that's how he truly feels. If he doesn't, then I want to hear authenticity, and I'll be able to identify it right away with
all of them. Yeah, I think we all will. He's a little goofy, but he's pretty authentic when he grabs the mic after a game or when he speaks. Now, maybe he's going to be more guarded. You got to remember, he's wounded. I mean, he didn't win the I know he's making $30 million at first baseman, but he didn't win this stare down. It's like, all right, you know, everybody kind of settled a little bit and compromised. He didn't have a knockout of the Mets. He just didn't.
Okay, so if somebody asked him, were you embarrassed at all at this offseason, what do you think the response would be or should be?
If they actually used the word embarrassed, I would love to hear this.
If they say, how tough was it?
Okay, I got you. How tough was it? It was tough. You know, I'm a human being. And,
bingo.
You know, it's hard to prepare for the season when you don't necessarily know where you're going to be. I know where my heart was, and I was hoping the business worked out. You know, it worked out maybe not as long as I wanted it to work out, but, you know, we got Juan, and we got a team, and let's go win, and let's revisit business down the road. Boom! That's the answer.
And maybe I don't need him to say, like, yeah, I was embarrassed, but, yeah, it was difficult. Like, I feel like I've given everything I have to this team, and I'm one of the pure power hitters. The game's best power hitters.
Yeah.
And to be devalued in this market, you know, maybe not dissimilar to what Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs or Derrick Henry, other running backs would say in the NFL, maybe that's what Pete should be honest about. I just don't want to hear the canned bullcrap, phony, like, you know, whatever message. And I don't know I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. I just hope that it's authentic, real, accepting and acknowledging what the situation was, which wasn't a pleasant one for anybody, the fans, Pete, or the team.
I wouldn't even mind, and you just kind of hit it. Give me a little flex. You are one of the premier power hitters in baseball. You could say it.
Right.
Say it.
Or now I'm happy. You know what? Yeah, the offseason was tough, but I'm the highest paid first baseman in the sport, and I'm going to go out there and earn even more. Hoff, you were saying he ran into Stearns. What happened?
On the field, and he walked by. He was like nodding his head, and then he stopped. Put his bat down, shook his hand, and then Stearns gave him a pat on the back, and then Pete gave him like a nice little pat on the back.
Pete stuck a knife right in the back of his right in his shoulder blade, and then he turned it five times.
Hey, look, ultimately, regardless of what is said today, time will tell.
Yeah. Yep.
Meaning beyond this year. Like, you get the feeling Mets fans are happy and Alonso's back. Yeah, that's great for now. We're going to go through this whole thing again next year, assuming Pete produces this year to a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, the worst case is going to be in 2 years again. But nobody seems to feel like this is going to be a long-term marriage. Let's change the narrative. Maybe they could. Go out there, produce, and maybe the Mets do say, you know what, we do value, and we're going to extend you and make you a lifelong Met, and then it could feel different than the way that it feels now.
Yeah, I think the reason why it's so interesting to me, aside from the obvious, is it's going to give us a look at his mental state, which was not great a year ago. You know, he didn't, and I'm not saying it's easy to handle this stuff. I get it. You drive him to the ballpark. You're right. Yeah, granted, we'd all love to get calls from our agents for 25, 30 million, you know, 70 million, 75, 90. Okay, great. But you still have to compartmentalize the business aspect, and it's not as easy as we sometimes make it out to be. And I want to hear if he's free of the burden, because I think if he sounds a little loose, I think it's probably a good sign for how he plays.
Agreed 100% with what you just said. All right, let's get back to the phones. Evan and Merrick wants to talk about Frankie Montas. What's up, Evan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
So on my way back from spring training, I was going to start with Montas, but since you're talking about Pete, watch live BP today. Pete not only looked jacked, but to me, put on a show. He was crushing the ball.
Yeah, Ryan, 63 miles an hour, Ryan. It's straight fastball. Come on, buddy.
That's, All right, fine.
As a matter of fact, I saw SNY tweet out, like the Yankees account tweets out, Jason Dominguez hitting a bomb off of Carlos Rodon, and then the Mets one is, hey, Pete Alonso flying out to right field. Great. That's the literally, go check the.
So they dissed him on Twitter. That's like watching Victor Wembanyama dunk on a layup line. Hey, he's ready to roll. He's 7'9" and the rim is 10 feet.
I don't think it was meant to be a diss. Obviously, it was meant to be a look at, you know, Alonso. Everybody can't get enough of Alonso or Soto. Let me just see the exact. Oh, no, that was Alvarez. I want to see the exact way that they said it because I was like, all right. Yeah. Pete Alonso hits a fly ball to right field off Clay Holmes in live BP. And then I'm watching. I'm like, oh, did this go out? No, it goes to right field. All right, you got the Montas news. What do we got there, Hoff?
Okay, so I have two different things I see, but this is from DeComo, so I'm going to go with him. Mets starter Frankie Montas has a high-grade lat strain. He's going to be shut down 6 to 8 weeks.
PRP injection as well, as I'm reading from Steve Gelbs.
Now, okay. Now I see that the Mayo has something that 4 to 6 weeks, according to Carlos Mendoza.
Yep.
So I'm not really sure it's 4 to 6 or 6 to 8.
All right. Well, let's...
Gelbs says 6 to 8. So
okay.
It's that.
Let's go with 6 to 8. So he's shut down for 6 to 8. That means you got to build up for a month to be able to step on a major league mound. We'll see him in 3 months. That's what that means.
High
if you're
grade,
lucky with no setbacks.
This is the Syndergaard thing, high-grade lat strain. Didn't know
lat's
Syndergaard
a weird
had that?
One. Like, you know, you think rotator forearm strain, precursor to Tommy John, lat strain? That's a weird one.
6 to 8 weeks from throwing. So what are you saying, BT? PRP injection, you said 3 months?
Well, what I'm saying
because
is think about this.
8 weeks is 2 months.
Yeah, and think about this. So if he's shut down for 8 months, then he's going to have at least a month to build himself up to get on a major league mound. He's got to work up incrementally to get there.
So February,
that's at least another month.
February, March, April, you'd say he's going to be. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
With
maybe
no
May.
With no setbacks, right. That's 3 months.
Maybe May. All right. I mean,
not horrendous, but it's not ideal.
They should be able to survive, you would think, the first month of the season. But again, you're now. You're thin. You've already lost one of your key depth pieces in that rotation and biggest acquisitions in the offseason as far as the rotation goes. I mean, it was Montas and Holmes. Like he was the first one. He was a big one. So that's going to be a little bit of a blow. But if he could come back in mid-May or even by June, you think they should be okay with the amount of guys that they have in that rotation?
I'd like to see the schedule. I'd like to look at the first 50 games. Not that it's going to define the season necessarily. Yeah, the Mets are going to hit enough where they're going to beat up on bad teams, you would think. I really do believe in Manaea. I believe the change that Manaea made a year ago. I believe he's the real deal. And I like Senga. You like Senga. I like Senga more than you. And you like him. I just happen to really like him. So I think that they'll be fine. I think that they'll be good. Look, I think that they're not going to... Listen, if they sink because Frankie Montas, they're not nearly as good as we thought they could be.
Exactly. The Yankees overcame losing Gerrit Cole for the first half of last year. This is Frankie Montas we're talking about here. So it's not worst case scenario because I felt like it was leaning toward... Not good, but it's not worst case scenario. Jed is calling from Patterson. What's up, Jed?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen,
what's up, Jed?
Coach Pitino, nice job, obviously, second year. Packed house last night, amazing. But let me be a Debbie Downer for a minute, if I may. And I love the Johnnies. I'm 64 years old. Mm-hmm. They go on to Seca Hall for, you know, when they couldn't give tickets away. So, I bought tickets for the Seton Hall game, senior day, March 1st, Seca Hall. They changed the venue now, right?
Yeah, it's at the Garden. Johnnies yep.
For a big deal. I get screwed out of tickets. Right? Ticketmaster's refunding me money in 3 weeks. I'm not getting any new tickets from St. John's. I don't even know that they changed the venue. So, you know, I'm a little frustrated, and I love the Johnnies, and I'm a little bit...
You know what I'm
going to
do for you, Jed? Here's what I'm going to do. I don't want to weigh into the waters where I don't know the absolute answer. What I was told, and I get that. There'll be some people who are going to be a little disenchanted with that. Number one, If you're on Long Island or Queens and you're like, I'm going to go to Carter Sec Arena, watch St. John's beat up on Seton Hall, okay. Now, logistically, it's a little bit of a different commute going into the city, but I can't help that. I was told that because it's not the same venue, like wherever you sit, comparatively speaking, in Queens, they're going to put you in the same spot at the Garden. I don't know about refunds. I'll find out. I'll try to put something on social media. I'm sure some people are going to be out a few bucks. It's nothing I can control, but would you rather play in front of 20,000 people or 6?
Yeah, no, you got to go. Come on, you got to go to the Garden. Steve is calling from New Hyde Park. Steve?
Guys, thanks for taking my call. Sal, I love you. I'm going to respectfully disagree with your opinion on the competitive nature of the NHL, showing more passion now. Number one, the night that Juan Soto was signed by the Mets. You were pulled on to SNY. Mm-hmm. You were going bananas. Your wife had to come in and tell you to calm down. You're waking up your kids.
Yeah.
How come you don't show the same passion every single show? Because it's not realistic. It's an event, okay? Now, I'm a hockey nut. I don't want to see this Four Nations every year because then it gets saturated. I want to see it every three, every 4 years, okay? And it's nothing new, okay? If you go back to the 96 World Cup of hockey, the U.S. team had to be escorted in by the police. That's the hatred that was there. The hatred is coming from the Canadians. It has nothing to do with Trump and the tariffs and stuff like that. It has to do with the fact that we're elevating our game above their game.
Right, but here's
the thing. And they don't like it.
Stephen, we appreciate the call, and I do appreciate the support. Here's why it's a bad analogy. It would be the equivalent of me doing the King Cone or the going nuts for Soto on a podcast as opposed to doing it on SNY or WFAN. That's my issue. It's not that I have a problem with the passion that they show. It's that their main jobs are the NHL or, in baseball's case, you know, Major League Baseball as opposed to the WBC or the Four Nations Tournament. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're passionate, man. I think you're always passionate.
Yeah, well, I know what he's saying, though. Like, we're not like every single segment.
No, well, you can't, because that would be phony and fake.
Right.
So you're talking about more misplaced passion. Like, save the passion for what your big paycheck's about. I agree.
How would you feel if I'm going to do the best stuff that I have and giving it on a podcast?
I mean, listen, I would say, what's going on? Get me a new partner. Right. I mean, come on. Bring your goods here.
All right, that does it for us. Back again tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thanks to Dope. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. Appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. See you tomorrow at 10.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.